Welcome to the Resilience Unlimited Show, your go-to podcast for empowerment and growth. I'm Coach Dr. Lauren, founder of Resilience Unlimited, inviting you to join our transformative journey each week. This space is specially crafted for high-achieving women, specifically women of color, where we can feel seen, heard, and part of a thriving community. This podcast is your compass for emotional regulation, understanding your purpose, and living unapologetically authentic. Ready to invest in yourself? Welcome back. It is another fantastic episode of the Resilience Unlimited Show. Of course, I have another guest and I am very excited. I always say I'm excited, but I am excited because I love meeting people and I love hearing people's authentic resilience stories. And I feel my guest today, Dr. Carla, has an amazing story that we will unpack and really talk about in the short amount of time we have on this episode, but it'll be a great, you know, discussion, and I'm sure it'll resonate with a few of you out there. So before we kick this interview off, as you all know, if you are watching, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you are listening, please subscribe to wherever you get podcasts. I'd love your support. And yeah, we're just going to kick off this conversation. So Carla, thank you for coming to the show. Would you like to introduce yourself to the guests? Audience, I should say.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having me on your show. And yes, I'm Dr. Carla Hilton. I am a Jamaican educator, actually, who I have now branched out into the writing field. So I am an educator, the founder of YES Institute, which stands for Your Empowerment Solutions Institute. Here, I specialize in providing tutoring services for science subjects, as well as conducting empowering workshops for both students and teachers. So in addition to my work as an educator, I have become an author, and I recently published my autobiographical book entitled The Unvarnished Truth, Purpose in the Pain. I am also a regular contributor to one of our national newspapers in Jamaica.
That's awesome. Yes. Wow. That is amazing to hear that. And, you know, obviously we could probably have a whole episode on Jamaica and education within itself. So those of you who don't know, my background is special education. This podcast was rebranded. It used to just talk about dyslexia and literacy. So Dr. Carla, I would love maybe to have another episode to talk about resilience in education, because I think that would be an awesome topic. But for today, as you all know, I structure every episode with an opening question. So I'm going to read this question as I always do, because they're always meaty questions that really get the conversation going. So, Dr. Carla, in your autobiography, you delve into the profound and challenging aspects of your life, from a traumatic childhood event to enduring a tumultuous 27-year marriage. The narrative highlights your resilience in the face of abuse, pain, and despair, culminating in a powerful story of triumph. So can you share a moment or aspect of your journey that was particularly transformative? And how has sharing these deeply personal experiences through your book become a means of inspiration and upliftment for others? So a lot there.
There's a lot there, but you know, and there has been so many transformative moments in my life, but the one that I think is most transformative occurred when I finally let go and accepted my adult children's estrangement. Because part of my story is that after the marriage ended, after 27 years, my children were both grown adults, and we had a very, very, very close relationship, or so I thought.
Right.
After this separation, they estranged, they cut off all ties with me. You know, that was very, very hard for me to accept.
Wow.
When I accepted that, this was that pivotal moment of personal growth.
Right.
So I had to accept the fact that I could not control everything. And sometimes acceptance is just simply the key to finding peace within oneself.
Yes.
So that I believe was what transformed my entire life, accepting and letting go. Still loving my children, still hoping for reconciliation, but letting it go.
Right.
Yes. Now, throughout my 27-year marriage, you know, I always grappled with the fear and, you know, the weight of conforming to societal norms. So I was one of those who didn't question. I was more of a submissive wife.
So
I was educated. I put my husband on a pedestal and did not actually have my own voice, you know.
I
fit the mold of the good little wife. Emotional connection with my husband was very scarce. And, you know, that is one of the things that put my children at the center of my life, and they became my sole source of joy.
I see.
Yes. And, you know, my voice was always silenced and overshadowed by my husband's dominance.
Okay.
And, you know, it led to many, many, many challenges. Some of these challenges led me to 2 suicide attempts.
Right. That is in your book. You talk about that. Yes.
But, yes. You did ask about readers. And one thing I have noticed, which has really amazed me, is that by sharing my deeply personal experiences, persons have responded that they admire my boldness and willingness to confront difficult topics.
Right.
And many have said that they found solace in realizing that they are not alone, that other persons are going through the same thing. It's just that they did not actually take it on and say it and speak it and discuss it. So by openly discussing my hardships and my triumphs, because it didn't just end in hardship, I am a much better person right now.
Right.
I hope to inspire others to find the strength in their own journeys and to embrace who they are, no matter what the obstacles that they face. You know, there are going to be many, and I continue to face battles. However,
right.
I can confidently say that I'm a resilient individual, having gone through what I have gone through.
Yeah. And I want to pause you because I have a few comments about what you said. So first things first, I think that people overlook vulnerability as a weakness. And I feel that when we are actually vulnerable, as you said, you know, really showing that true side of the hurt and pain, but obviously it's much easier when you're on the other side, you know, when you've come through on the other side, you can say, no, I'm here. But I feel that because of societal pressures, because of the way things look on the outside, there's so many people suffering. And I'm sure you felt that in probably points in your marriage as well. But I also think there's another piece of the estrangement, right? So I think that a mother and child bond, it's not the same for everybody in throughout the whole journey. And I think that society is always like, love your parents and always, you know, be there. And, you know, when they get old, you have to take care of them. And I just find that to be not everybody's story, you know, and you don't know what people have gone through to make the choices they've made. And I'm sure when your kids were born, you weren't like, yeah, I hope I am estranged from them when they're adults. I mean, like, you don't ever think of those things.
Ever think of that. That's beyond my imagination. But
yeah. And you're not yeah, you're not equipped for that until you've gone through things. And like you said, the biggest thing was acceptance and loving them from afar. And I don't know, you know, what caused them to not want to speak to you, or, and for you to, you know, I mean, that's got to be hard. And I'm sure it's still hard, but I'm sure you're more removed and you have the resources to actually say, I'm still going to live my life and I'm still going to share my story. And I know it's going to impact others. So I was just thinking about that because I just feel that some relationships are kind of taboo where it's like, oh, just love your fill in the blank, you know? And it's like, but maybe there's some abusive things happening there, you know, narcissism, which I think you talk about that in your book as well.
Well, my personal opinion is that I was married to a narcissist.
Yeah.
For many, many years. And I believe, but I have no proof of it, but I do believe that perhaps he has influenced their decision to estrange themselves from me. Because even though we've had such a long marriage, and when I left the marriage, I thought we would be amicable.
Right.
It turned out to be filled with adversity, and I had to take matters to the justice system. Then, you know what I mean? And
right.
That was something I did not expect. Mm-hmm, I think I was really very naive and thought that, okay, I will leave and things, you know, he said he'll do X, Y, and Z, and that is what I will, that is what would happen. But
right. Yeah. Well, yeah. And if you're familiar, those of you who are not very familiar with narcissistic abuse, it's like, I mean, it's everywhere right now on social media. I feel like so many people are now realizing the signs. But those of you who aren't familiar, I would say check out Dr. Romedy. She really talks a lot about narcissism. I know Mel Robbins has some podcast episodes I've heard about narcissism and how to kind of overcome that. There actually is a guy on social media called Lee. I think he might be, he's a self-diagnosed narcissist. Like, he got himself diagnosed. And so he basically speaks from his personal experience of how he's healed himself, but he's aware that he's still narcissistic, has a family, all of this. But it's very insightful actually hearing advice from a true narcissist who actually wants to get better. So, you know, those of you who are listening that you're like, I'm not really quite sure what all that entails. It's a lot of emotional abuse. I mean, a lot of gaslighting, a lot of like, did I really say like what? And then when you're married, if you have a family member, if you have a parent, and that's hard, very hard.
Yes, I did experience a lot of gaslighting, which I detail in my autobiography, but I had a lot of growing up to do, I think. I think I am from East Indian heritage, and I grew up with parents that still adopted many of the East Indian traditions. So I was very protected, and my sole focus was to do well in academics. And, you know, even yeah. From then too, I should say that, you know, I developed these people-pleasing
traits.
It was part of me to always be trying to please somebody. And in the beginning of my life, it was my parents. I wanted to do well in school to please them. Of course, I realized that that is not the answer to the happiness that we all seek, right? I thought if I got my straight A's and whatever, that would make me happy. It made them happy. I'm okay with it, but you know.
Yeah,
I entered a marriage at a very young age, at 22. And then I thought pleasing my husband would also, you know, bring me happiness. And that didn't happen. And then I thought, okay, I have children now. I'll do everything for them. I'll be the perfect mother. You know, nobody's perfect, but you understand.
Of course, yes.
And again, to be honest, it did bring me much happiness being a mother to them. I did enjoy my role. To the point where I think I overdid it.
Okay.
Of my world.
Right. Yeah. And so I think in regards to the other, well, I mean, I guess you have shared a lot of transformative moments. But what, I guess for any woman who was listening to this episode, and if you're, you know, non-binary or a man too, but I know that I'm more so speaking to women, especially women of color. What advice or signs could you give women to kind of be aware of? Now, I know that's a very general question, because you could even start with signs of happiness, you know, because I mean, really happiness, I feel, is an inside job. Like, you need to be happy within in order to have happiness outwardly. But given that you have lived in such a marriage that was tumultuous and have lived the experience of being a mom who loved your kids, but where you are now, like, what are some tell signs that you can kind of share with women who might be like, oh my goodness, I might be in this situation right now?
You know, I think you have to assess how much power you have in the marriage. And when I say power, I mean equality. I found in my marriage, I was not equal. I did not have an equal voice. So big decisions were made whether I agreed or not. So for example, in my particular case, I think the worst example was when we bought our homes. The very first home we had, he insisted that he added a sibling to the title of the house.
Oh, like one of his siblings?
Yes.
But not you?
No, I was added. So it was husband, wife, and husband's brother, if you get what I mean.
That's interesting.
That was very cunning of him, because I'm not sure if the law in the U.S. is the same as the law in Jamaica. However, that happened with the first house, and it also happened with the second home. What happened now, when we were in front of the judge now, I did not actually have a matrimonial home, because a matrimonial home should have been between husband and wife only. But because there were other names on the title, that put me in a very difficult position. Even though it could have been proven eventually, in Jamaica here, it takes a while. It was going to take me about 10 years in the court system. So this led me to having to settle for something much less than I was truly entitled to. But he was cunning. And even though I did know about it, I'm not going to say he did it behind my back. He did not. However, I did protest and said I was not in agreement. However, he went and did it anyway. And those are some of the characteristics of a narcissist.
Yeah.
Your voice is silenced, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are. You have no opinion when it comes to this is the way. This is the way.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot to process. I mean, obviously, this is the first time I've heard it. You know, you've written about this, but I could not even imagine. Well, and the thing is, it's the gaslighting. It's like I'm sure there was some sweet story around why this was a good idea. You know, and you're just like.
There was.
And you're thinking at the time, like, I don't know, I'm just like, superimposing myself, maybe you're thinking at the time, like, this doesn't feel right, but it's my husband, and okay, I guess it's okay. And then all of a sudden you're convincing yourself, and then all of a sudden you're in a position years later and you're kind of like screwed. And that's just wow. So how long have you been separated or divorced, if you don't mind me asking?
Okay. I have been separated for 5 years, divorced for two. The divorce process takes a while also.
Of course. Yeah, of course, of course.
I have been divorced 2 years now, or close to 2 years.
And do you feel like at this point in your life, you are getting to know yourself? Like really getting to know who you are?
Definitely. I have learned so many, many lessons in this short 5 years, more than the rest of my 50 years, you know what I mean? Those 50 years, I was just not asserting myself. I was not who I was to be. I did not have a true purpose. And that is why my book is entitled Purpose in the Pain.
Your pain, yeah.
Because I have been through a lot, and now I see that, you know, I do have purpose other than taking care of children.
Yes, you do.
What's in life, and I can make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, honestly, sometimes I feel that some of the things we go through, it's like, what is the purpose of this? But sometimes I feel like it's to mold and shape you to figure out who you truly are, but then also so you could really use your voice to help others, you know? And I think that it's so hard to think like, why was this my task, if you will? Like if you're thinking of a higher being or whatever, it's like, why was this my task? But, you know, I just met you and you just are such a strong woman. And hearing these things, it's just, it's crazy that you endured the middle of that and you're here and just all that you've accomplished. And it's just, I think it's truly resilient, which obviously, you know, that's why this episode is called Finding Resilience in the Purpose of Your Pain. So I'm still, you know, processing everything you're saying. And I think it's needed to hear. It really truly is needed to hear, because there are so many women, I feel, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just times are different. You can access so much education on YouTube, you know, on TikTok, that so many people are really starting to like pull back the curtain on, wait a second, I think this is abuse, you know, or like, wait a second, why don't I have a voice right now? You know, I am an equal contributor, but I'm not being treated as such. And this could be in the workplace. I know, like, I've experienced, I don't know how much racism you've experienced in Jamaica, but I mean, like, I've experienced that in the workplace. And, you know, I have my doctorate as well, but I'm not seen as the same as a white counterpart sometimes just because. And it's just like the adversity that, you know, we have to go through. And now people are talking more about it. So I just think that your story is remarkable, and I definitely want to read your book. Is your book on audiobook? Because I do more audio than actual reading.
No, it's not. I've been asked about that. I have not yet put it on audiobook, but get a real book and read it. But it's available on Kindle as well. So
okay. No, that's good. That, absolutely. Know,
there is something you mentioned there a while ago, and I wanted to say something where you said,
yeah, please.
I'm more aware about abuse in marriages, but there was one thing in particular that I didn't realize was abuse until after, was financial abuse.
Wherein,
even though we were married for how long and I was a stay-at-home mom, I was being checked. Everything that I spent, he would sometimes call one of my children and ask them, what did mommy spend here? Because I usually go everywhere with them.
Right.
He had a credit card statement and he would ask, you know, what did she buy there? What did she, you know, that sort of thing.
And wow.
I was controlled in how much money I could spend or where. And I'm not saying that you should overspend. Obviously, you have a budget, but this was more controlled.
Yes.
You know, a controlling thing. You know,
absolutely.
And
wow.
I think women, men, whoever, they need to be aware that there is something called financial abuse.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing. But now that you're describing it, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like most people think abuse is like, oh, I hit you. You know, when really there's physical, there's emotional, there's financial. I mean, there's so many types of abuse that... Yeah, your vulnerability is amazing. And I do want to read your book. And unfortunately, we're coming to the end of this episode. And I am like still processing this whole conversation. I love this conversation. I truly love interviewing people and getting to know them in the conversation, because these conversations are real conversations that real people need to have and hear. And so, given that we're coming to the end, Dr. Carla, I would love for you to have the opportunity to share, you know, how guests, I keep calling them guests, audience, the audience can reach you if you have any services. I know we didn't talk about your education side, but if there's anything you want to talk about with that, of course, you guys got to read this book. It should be a movie. It should turn into a movie.
I've said that. I haven't even spoken about half the things in there that I've been through.
Oh my gosh. But
Thank you. But I'm sure I would love people to visit my website, www.khylton.com. The book is called The Unvarnished Truth, The Purpose in the Pain, and it is available at both Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And I think, you know, the response that I've been getting has been really good. So I do believe your audience will enjoy the book.
Yes, absolutely. And those of you who are listening and you can't check the show notes, Dr. Carla's links are in the show notes as well. And so, as you all know, I always end episodes by saying, please share this episode with someone who might need it. You never know, it could change their life. I mean, seriously, you just never, never know. And I love holding the space, having these authentic conversations, because resilience is a part of my fabric. And I know I haven't fully shared my story, but I am building to get there. I'll put it that way. But these are very cathartic experiences. And I just love, again, speaking with so many powerful women who have been through so much, and the resilience is just amazing. So Dr. Carla Hylton, thank you so much for your vulnerability, your time. And I would love to do another episode on the education side, if you're open to it.
Sure, I am. I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So as I said in the beginning, please be sure to subscribe and, you know, hit the like and comment, and definitely share episodes that resonate with you with others. And I will see you all next week. Thank you for joining us this week on the Resilience Unlimited show. Be sure to hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on our YouTube channel and follow us on social media. See you next week, divas. And don't forget, stay resilient.